Thank you, Charles. Before we get into the message, I want to say a word of appreciation to and for Kristen Bentley, who created our beautiful altar this morning. Isn't it a blessing? And doesn't it lift your heart to God? Yes, that's fine if you'd like to clap. And with Virginia's flowers too, my goodness, my goodness. Also, some of you already know, but the reason Fred is not here this morning is that his back is giving him trouble. So if you would keep him in prayer, we would appreciate that very much. He was not able to get up and come this morning. One of my favorite cartoons is based on verse 8 of Philippians 4. It's one of those one-frame cartoons, you know the kind, and it's in a sanctuary. The view is from the choir loft, and you can see the pastor's head and shoulders as she reads the passage, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And then above the heads of several of the congregants, there are those little thought clouds. You know the ones I mean? And in one of them is roast beef. And in one of them is turkey. And in one of them is pie. You know, when we think on that which is pleasing, at this hour of the morning, we can easily move right on to Sunday dinner. But before our minds venture too far towards Sunday dinner, let me call us to the theme that Paul lifts for us in several different ways in this passage, and it is the theme of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul writes. And then, just in case we missed it the first time, he says, "Again I say, rejoice." Why? Because God is near. God is with us. There's a wonderful, incredible comfort in knowing that God is with us now and always, isn't there? Oh, I know we can get all bent out of shape about all sorts of different kinds of things. And maybe that's one reason we need to remember God's presence with us. I mean, we can get worked up over disagreements and dissensions like the two women in the Philippian church apparently had, Euodia and Syntyche. We don't know what they were upset with each other about, but they were not of one mind. And I can only imagine the tension, the current struggles in the general, broader United Methodist Church come to mind. We can get worked up over dissensions and disagreements. We can get worried about needs and requests that we have, whether they're financial worries or scheduling worries or stresses at school or at work. We can let those sorts of things get us in a knot, can't we? Situations, financial worries, whatever. And we can get worked up over concerns. Concerns for ourselves or concerns for each other. Situations and circumstances can sometimes seem overwhelming. We may find ourselves wondering, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I handle this? We can get worked up over a variety of concerns. However, if we will remember that God is with us, we can stop, let go of some of that tension, and breathe, and hand those worries, those struggles, those concerns over to God. God can handle them. God is absolutely capable of handling them. Paul says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Have you heard the story about the man who every day at the end of the day comes home from work and stops at the shrub right outside his front door and does this? It's a little odd looking, isn't it? And then he walks on in his house. One day someone saw him doing it. And they said, I gotta ask. That just looks weird. What are you doing? And he said, well, I'm giving my concerns of the day, my worries of the day, my burdens of the day over to God. I'm leaving them out here on this bush for God. When I do that and go in the house, the evening goes so much nicer. It's so much more pleasant in our house. Plus, I sleep better. And you know the most amazing part of it is when I come back out in the morning and get ready to go back to work, nearly all of them, sometimes all of them, are gone. Very few, if any, left for me to pick up and carry with me anymore. Well, you see, this man understood what Paul went on to say, that when we give our cares to the Lord, and when we do so with thanksgiving, in other words, with faith, knowing that God is going to act, God can handle this, and God will. And then being able to go ahead knowing that and saying thank you as we hand them over. Then God will take care of them, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We may not know how God's going to go about handling them. And God may handle them in a way that we have never even imagined or thought of. But we can know that God will handle them when we give our cares over to God. Not only that, we can know that God is going to take care of us in the midst of whatever is going on. Knowing that gives us peace. We can hand our concerns, our worries, and our troubles over to God and trust that God is big enough to handle them and that God loves us enough to take care of us in the midst of whatever struggle or strife we might be facing. It's good news, isn't it? And because of that good news, Paul says, rejoice. I want to get you to say that with me. Rejoice. Paul says, because of that good news, we can rejoice. He says that because he knows it to be true. He knows it to be true by his personal experience. He has been through good times. He's been through times when he had plenty. He's been through times when he was comfortable, times when he was enjoying friends and family, times when he was celebrating and going through holidays, times when he was very accomplished and very successful. And he has been through times that were very difficult. Times when he really didn't have what he needed and when he struggled. Times when he was accused of all sorts of horrible things, when he was hated and mistreated and beaten. In fact, he was in prison as he wrote these words. not knowing whether he would get out or whether he would become the next of the martyrs. And yet he says he's learned that no matter what the circumstances, no matter whether he's well-fed or hungry, comfortable or in need, he can be content because he knows God is with him. Rejoice, he says. He could do and face whatever was coming or whatever faced him because of the many ways in which he had experienced the strength of God being given to him. Through God's presence, through God's provision, and through the mercies of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Rejoice, therefore, he says. Say it with me again. Rejoice. That beautiful verse then follows that so many of us know and have learned that he can say, because he knows all this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, rejoice. Say it again. Rejoice. All of this points to the difference between joy and happiness. You know the difference between joy and happiness, don't you? Happiness is all about our circumstances. It's a beautiful day outside. We are here worshiping God with our friends and family members. We may leave here and go to a wonderful meal. School's out for the next week. The kids are happy. We may have a good job or whatever. We're happy about. Joy runs deeper. It's grounded in the spiritual awareness that we can trust God with our very lives. It's grounded in the spiritual awareness that God cares for us, that God's mercies are extended toward us, and that God loves us more than we can imagine. Maybe you've heard the saying, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on the front of it. That's how much God loves you. Joy is grounded in that sort of awareness. We're not alone. We don't face the challenges of life alone. God is with us. God loves us. And God will see us through. Rejoice, therefore. Say it again with me like you really mean it. Rejoice. Now that doesn't mean that we don't do anything for ourselves or on our own. What it does mean is that before we launch out with anything on our own, we seek God's guidance and we trust God to make a way. When we do that, God puts things into perspective for us. We find that we can overcome human differences. We find the strength to make it through unimaginable pain. And we find the direction, the clarity of vision, to know how to respond to circumstances in which we find ourselves. And therefore, we rejoice. Say it with me. Rejoice. Paul says, then having let God give us direction, we can follow, and we can return to doing the things that we know that Christ has taught us to do without fretting. We can follow Jesus' teaching and his example, and God's guidance through the Holy Spirit, knowing that Christ is with us. As we give our cares to God, God gives us the gift of peace. Dr. Alice McKenzie has written about this passage. The Philippians are not called to imitate the peace of Christ, not to imitate it, but to accept the gift of peace that is being offered to them by the grace of God, accessed through the habit of prayer. Brothers and sisters, we are offered a gift, a present, and it's the peace of God. And what do we do when we're given a really wonderful gift? Well, we Say it one more time. Rejoice. So what do you have that you need to hand over to God this day? I have good news for you. God is ready for a gift exchange. Hand over to God your burdens, and God will give you the gift in exchange for the burdens of peace. Thanks be to God, and let us all rejoice. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you, and we do rejoice in your goodness for us, in your love for us, in your mercies that you give. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.